Perek Gimel Mishnah Daled, the third chapter in the fourth Mishnah, states as follows. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir says, Kol Tanai, every condition, She'eino Kisnai B'nei God B'nei Ruvein, any condition that is not formulated like the condition of the children of God and the children of Ruvein, Eino Tanai, is not considered a valid condition. Just to remind ourselves, what exactly is this referring to? It's referring to a case that took place at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, where the Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven asked Moshe Rabbeinu if they can live in the east part of the Jordan, land that was captured by the Jewish people, by Am Yisrael, and they asked to remain there, in the land of Eretz Hagilad. Moshe then said to them the following. Shnemar, Vayomar Moshe Alehem. Moshe responded, Im Yavru V'nei Gad V'nei Ruvain. If the children, the boys of Gad and Ruvain, would traverse with us into Eretz Canaan, and what Moshe told them, they must fight the battle, must continue, must be part of Klal Yisrael and fight and wage war on the seven nations that were living there. And if they would in fact join, then they would be allowed to inherit that land, not to live in that land. And if they would not join them in engaging in battle in Eretz Canaan, then they would not be allowed to live in the land of Gilad. This is considered a Tanai Kafur. It is considered this double-edged type of stipulation for a condition. What is its requirements? Requirements have a component of the Tanai, the condition must come before the act itself. Tanai Kodem Maisa, V'shiyah Hain Kodem Alav. And the positive part of the stipulation must come before the negative. And without it, let's say if you don't have such a formulation in a condition, Hatnai batal umase kayam, explain the commentaries. That this condition is nullified, but the act still remains in force. So, for example, in our case, it would be as follows. If you recall our previous Mishnayos, Mishnah Beis and Mishnah Gimel, they didn't have such a formulation. In which case, Rabbi Meir would explain as follows. If a man were to say to a woman, you are milkudeshes to me on condition that I give you 200 zoos. Or, for example, the other Mishnah which said, on condition that I have a base core of earth. Since he didn't make this Tanai kaful, he didn't make this double condition, his condition is void. The 200 zoos, irrelevant. The land, rendered meaningless. And even though he doesn't give her the 200 zoos, or if he doesn't have a base core of earth, the condition would still be effective according to Rav Meir. The ma'isa is kayam, the act is good. However, the condition, the stipulation that he puts, is totally irrelevant. Why? Because the formulation was not this Tanai of B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvain. So the mayor in our Mishnah is coming to argue on the previous Mishnayos. Our Mishnah ends, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel mer tzari chayad avar la'omro, shel malei chen. Explains Rabbi Chanina. Why is it that Moshe used this Tanai Kafur, this double condition, in regards to Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven? Rabbi Chanina is of the opinion that it was necessary to state it this way, because let's say they would not have fulfilled the condition. Rabbi Chanina is of the opinion that they would not have even received an inheritance in the land of Eretz Canaan. And therefore, he had to say, he had to make this stipulation of a double condition. However, in the event there's a Tanai, there's a condition which does not leave any room for doubt, even if it's not this double condition, it would still be a valid Tanai. What is in fact the halacha? The halacha is as follows. If a person were to begin a condition with if, for example, if you're going to do such and such, then the halacha is like Rav Meir, and it must be a Tanai Kaful. But the person just says a regular stipulation, like on condition, al menas, and not im, then a person would not need to recite the Tanai Kaful, nor would the positive aspect have to precede the negative aspect, nor would the condition have to precede the act. It is only when a person begins with saying im, if, then you have to keep all these requirements, like Rav Meir stipulates, like B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. And that is why in our two previous Mishnayos, Rav Meir argues, but in fact, the halacha is according to what was explained earlier. Gimel Mishnah 5. Hamakadesh es ha'isha v'amar. A person who betroths a woman and he says, Kesavur ha'isi she kohenes. I thought she was a kohenes. I thought she was a priestess. Arehi levia. And really, it turns out that she was a levia. Levia v'arehi kohenes, or vice versa. Levia, and she was really a kohenes. Aniya v'arehi ashira, you thought that she was wealthy and she was to be poor. Ashira v'arehi aniya, or vice versa. Areza mekudeshes, in either one of these cases, it would still be mekudeshes. Why? Bnei shelo hit'atu. Because she did not mislead him. At no point in time did she reveal and what she is, and trick him and deceive him by Kiddushin. Rather, he might have deceived himself, but he did never ask her whatsoever, and therefore the Kiddushin is still valid. Mishnah continues, Omer Le'isha, person turns to a woman and says, Rabbi Mekudeshesli, you are betrothed to me, La'achar she'ezgayer, or La'achar she'ezgayeri. Once I have converted, once you have converted, la harsha shtachrer la achar shati shtachruri. After you have been freed, or if I'm enslaved, then after I become free, la achar shi yamus balech. After your husband passes away, la achar shi tamus achoseich. Or after your sister dies, la achar shi yachlotzlich yivamich eina mekudesha. Or after a woman who requires yibum, once your brother rejects you, so to speak, and performs what's called chalitza, the yavavam performs chalitza and rejects you for marrying you, and all these cases, the person who is stipulating the kiddushin is not able to mekadesh her now. There is some major barrier. There's some major issue that has not been taken care of, and at this point in time, when he makes a stipulation, and since as we explained, when you make the condition at that moment, the Kiddushin ultimately will take effect. Since the Kiddushin cannot take effect at that moment because of the situation, she's not Jewish, she's still connected to a Yavama, she's connected still to her brother-in-law, and all these cases, such conditions, even though they might be met later on, nonetheless, even the condition would be met later on, the condition would not be chal, would not be affected. The last part of our Mishnah, V'chein ha'omer l'chavero, im yalda ishtecha, nekev ha'rei, ki mekudeshes li, eina mekudeshes. Person turns to his friend and says to him, if your wife gives birth to a female, this girl, will be mekudeshes to me. In such a case, the Kiddushin would not be effective simply because it can't be effective with someone who is not yet living. And finally, v'imhaisa eishas chaveirum uberas v'hukar ubara. In the event that his friend's wife is pregnant and the pregnancy is evident, in such a case, devarav kayamin v'yodon akeva mikudeshas. This Mishnah seems to imply that devar Shalom Bala Ulam, something which is yet to come into existence, person is able to acquire, yet that is not the prevailing opinion, and there even are those who amend this last few words of our Mishnah, because it is such a minority opinion. And others who just assume that this last part of the Mishnah is just an error, and should be omitted, in his general practice, as a person who cannot be Mekadesh and Isha, you cannot acquire something, you cannot be betrothed to someone or something which does not exist in the world. Regardless, if it's recognizable that a woman is pregnant, the child is yet to be born and only exists as a fetus.